Thanks very much. I'm hugely excited about the potential of this organisation, and ever since I went along to the launch back in July, the kind of statement of intent to be the world's best research and innovation agency. So reflecting on this, you know, what would it mean to be the best and to realise the aspirations and the vision set out today? In Nesta's work, we've spent a lot of time examining the kind of organisational designs, goals, aspirations and achievements of innovation agencies all around the world. And it would be really, really helpful to be able to say there was an objective best model of organisational design, of instrument for funding science innovation, of an objective best set of results and outcomes. But while we can, you know, envy or emulate, I don't know, the industry building model of ITRI in Taiwan, or the programme management of DARPA in the US, the Challenge FOCA of Vinnova in Sweden, the best research and innovation agencies are the ones that deliver for their own societies and economies. And historically, the most successful ones have constantly experimented, optimised, adapted and reinvented their approach. So reflecting on what Mark said today, I wanted to offer three areas where I think we need to see some bold experimentation in the modus operandi of UKRI if we are to achieve this level of ambition for the organisation. So the first area where we need some experimentation is really how to speak with one voice without relying on one brain. And so this isn't just about formal governance and design of the organisation, but how to harness in an effective way that collective experience and expertise in universities, in businesses, in other places all throughout the country and world, and to harness that to kind of gather evidence and data. You know, maybe to attract the you know, identify the next opportunity for a weaver-like shift. To develop ideas, but above all, to make smarter decisions. And I think this calls for one of the boldest public policy experiments ever, and something that my CEO, Jeff Mulgan, calls collective intelligence, the potential of which is being totally revolutionised by digital tools. And our ability to capitalise on this is so far behind where it should be. You know, we're completely inept at drawing on this collective capacity of humans to solve problems and work together. So this isn't, of course, about consultation in marginal issues, but really how we can take collective responsibility for addressing some of those central thorny issues. And I suppose there's no thornier issue for UKRI than this getting the balance of funding right. And as a first contribution to this, we're going to be publishing in a few weeks a piece which a new analysis by Richard Jones and James Wilson of Sheffield University, which aims to look afresh at this debate around the balance of funding and looking at how collective intelligence can be harnessed to make smarter decisions in this way. So the second, and this was really great to see in Mark's presentation today, is the issue of public engagement. But not just how to make it important, but how to really revolutionise public engagement through UKRI. So we know we're early in a curve of profound social and economic impacts, of disruptive impacts of the fourth industrial revolution. And while I'm certainly working in an organisation that has an enormous amount of optimism for what this means for society, we do risk repeating the disasters that we saw around GM and nuclear. As Mark pointed out, there's a gap between what technocrats like us think and what the public thinks. Nesta's done some polling looking at what the public thinks about investment in research and innovation. What we found really interesting is there's a surprisingly high degree of support for investment in R&I. So the public think, 73% of the public think we spend the right amount or not enough. It's quite remarkable. But when you poll them on what their priorities are, they're very different to what priorities are within government. You know, they'll prioritise health, but also education. And imagine if investment in innovation and education was one of our priorities within UKRI. So the UK used to be widely regarded as the best in the world in public engagement in science. Partly, I think, due to the surge in investment in response to the GM scandal. I don't think we can hold that mantle any longer. Nesta has experimented in, I suppose, fairly creative ways in how to engage the public. So our £10 million Longitude Prize for a solution to antimicrobial resistance, you know, that challenge was chosen by a huge national campaign with the BBC. We've got a series of grants out now looking for more creative and experimental ways to engage the public in science innovation policy decision making. But I think, you know, the amazing response to that tender so far has really made me realise how much we've been failing the public to date in our approaches to do this. And the scale of UKRI really creates the opportunity to totally reinvent public engagement in decision making. And also, alongside that, to create a far higher bar for evidence on what works. So the third point I wanted to make is this issue of the international agenda. So how can UKRI deliver an international agenda worthy of the post-Brexit era? Not only does Mark become one of the most powerful men in science, but also he becomes one of our most important diplomats. And I've been enormously encouraged to see him travelling the world, forging new strategic partnerships like the one we've seen with China. And my background is in international collaboration in science and innovation, and I don't think it's possible to overestimate both the importance and the complexity of this role. So we know that lining up the constituent parts of the UK system is hard enough without considering the bilateral, the multilateral, the diplomatic, the political and the commercial agendas that come along with trying to forge these partnerships. So huge progress with Newton, with GCRF, but an enormous amount to do to maximise the potential value of these programmes and to optimise the ways that they work. We don't have the answers. And again, to reiterate the point of this is why experimentation is so important to understand how we can make these work in the future. This area, I think, is a particularly huge and central priority for what's been called the strategic brain. I think it's one area where we're consistently suffering from a lack of data, evidence, kind of input into make those important strategic decisions. And the last point I'd make very quickly is how to design and implement that strategic brain to benefit all of us. So we know that an ideal approach here will not be starting from scratch, but how UKRI can pool the resources, the talents, the knowledge from across the system and combine them in new ways with data that, you know, 10 years ago was completely unavailable to us. And Nesta's been trying to experiment with this by exploring how we can use big data to make better real-time science and innovation policy decisions. But it's not just a technology project, it's also a personnel one. I think there'll be important questions for UKRI in how, within the strategic brain, we kind of find the right ways of engaging the right talent, the right expertise at the right time. And maybe we might want to learn from something like the Talent Cloud in Canada, which is a totally new system of employing civil servant expertise to feed into expert agendas. So just a few points on my reflections, but yeah, and thank you. I should have said at the beginning, it's great to be here, and thank you for the invitation.